wisdom of Shaddai, the like of these there is not in any kingdom. The riddles were made upon the king Shaddai himself, and upon Emmanuel his son, and upon his wars and doings with Mansoul. Emmanuel also expounded unto them some of those riddles himself, but oh, how they were lightened. They saw what they never saw. They could not have thought that such rarities could have been couched in so few and such ordinary words. I told you before whom these riddles did concern, and as they were opened, the people did evidently see it was so. Yea, they did gather that the things themselves were a kind of a portraiture, and that of Emmanuel himself. For when they read in the scheme where the riddles were writ, and looked in the face of the prince, things looked so like the one to the other that Mansoul could not forbear but say, "This is the lamb. This is the sacrifice. This is the rock. This is the red cow. This is the door. And this is the way," with a great many other things more. And thus he dismissed the town of Mansoul. But can you imagine how the people of the corporation were taken with this entertainment? Oh, they were transported with joy. They were drowned with wonderment while they saw and understood and considered what their Emmanuel entertained them withal and what mysteries he opened to them. And when they were at home in their houses and in their most retired places, they could not but sing of him and of his actions. Yea, so taken were the townsmen now with their prince that they would sing of him in their sleep. Now it was in the heart of the Prince Emmanuel to new model the town of Mansoul, and to put it into such a condition as might be most pleasing to him, and that might best stand with the profit and security of the now flourishing town of Mansoul. He provided also against insurrections at home and invasions from abroad. Such love had he for the famous town of Mansoul. Wherefore, he first of all commanded that the great slings that were brought from his father's court, when he came to the war of Mansoul, should be mounted, some upon the battlements of the castle, some upon the towers, for there were towers in the town of Mansoul, towers new built by Emmanuel since he came hither. There was also an instrument invented by Emmanuel that was to throw stones from the castle of Mansoul out at Mouthgate, an instrument that could not be resisted, nor that would not miss of execution. Wherefore, for the wonderful exploits that it did when used, it went without a name, and it was committed to the care of and to be managed by the brave captain, the Captain Credence, in case of war. This done, Emmanuel called the Lord Will-be-Will to him, and gave him in commandment to take care of the gates, the wall, and towers in Mansoul. Also the prince gave him the militia into his hand, and a special charge to withstand all insurrections and tumults that might be made in Mansoul against the peace of our Lord the King, and the peace and tranquility of the town of Mansoul. He also gave him in commission that if he found any of the Diabolonians lurking in any corner of the famous town of Mansoul, he should forthwith apprehend them and stay them, or commit them to safe custody, that they may be proceeded against according to law. Then he called unto him the Lord Understanding, who was the old Lord Mayor, he that was put out of place when Diabolus took the town, and put him into his former office again. And it became his place for his lifetime. He bid him also that he should build him a palace near Eygate, and that he should build it in fashion like a tower for defense. He bid him also that he should read in the revelation of mysteries all the days of his life, that he might know how to perform his office aright. He also made Mr. Knowledge the recorder, not of contempt to old Mr. Conscience, who had been recorder before, but for that it was in his princely mind to confer upon Mr. Conscience another employ, of which he told the old gentleman he should know more hereafter. Then he commanded that the image of Diabolus should be taken down from the place where it was set up, and that they should destroy it utterly, beating it into powder and casting it into the wind without the town wall, and that the image of Shaddai, his father, should be set up again with his own upon the castle gates, and that it should be more fairly drawn than ever, forasmuch as both his father and himself were come to man's soul in more grace and mercy than heretofore. He would also that his name should be fairly engraven upon the front of the town, and that it should be done in the best of gold for the honor of the town of man's soul. After this was done, Emmanuel gave out a commandment that those three great Diabolonians should be apprehended, namely the two late Lord Mayors, to wit, Mr. Incredulity, Mr. Lustings, and Mr. Forget-Good, the recorder. Besides these, there were some of them that Diabolus made burgesses and aldermen in Mansoul that were committed to ward by the hand of the now valiant and now right noble, the brave Lord Will-Be-Will. And these were their names: Alderman Atheism, Alderman Hard Heart, Alderman False Peace. The burgesses were Mr. No Truth, Mr. Pitiless, Mr. Haughty, with the like. These were committed to close custody, and the jailer's name was Mr. True Man. This True Man was one of those that Emmanuel brought with him from his father's court, when at the first he made a war upon Diabolus in the town of Mansoul. After this, the prince gave a charge that the three strongholds that, at the command of Diabolus, the Diabolonians built in Mansoul, should be demolished and utterly pulled down, of which holds and their names with their captains and governors you read a little before. But this was long in doing because of the largeness of the places, and because the stones, the timber, the iron, and all rubbish was to be carried without the town. When this was done, the prince gave order that the Lord Mayor and Alderman of Mansoul should call a court of judicature for the trial and execution of the Diabolonians in the corporation now under the charge of Mr. True Man, the jailer. Chapter 8. Now when the time was come and the court set, commandment was sent to Mr. True Man, the jailer, to bring the prisoners down to the bar. Then were the prisoners brought down, pinioned and chained together, as the custom of the town of Mansoul was. So when they were presented before the Lord Mayor, the recorder, and the rest of the honorable bench, first the jury was impaneled, and then the witnesses sworn. The names of the jury were these: Mr. Belief, Mr. Trueheart, Mr. Upright, Mr. Hate Bad, Mr. Love God, Mr. See Truth, Mr. Heavenly Mind, Mr. Moderate, Mr. Thankful, Mr. Good Work, Mr. Zeal for God, and Mr. Humble. The names of the witnesses were Mr. Know-All, Mr. Tell True, Mr. Hate Lies, with my Lord Will-Be-Will and his man, if need were. So the prisoners were set to the bar. Then said Mr. Do-Right, for he was the town clerk, "Set Atheism to the bar, jailer." So he was set to the bar. Then said the clerk, "Atheism, hold up thy hand. Thou art here indicted by the name of Atheism, an intruder upon the town of Mansoul, for that thou hast perniciously and doltishly taught and maintained that there was no God, and so no heed to be taken to religion. This thou hast done against the being, honor, and glory of the king, and against the peace and safety of the town of Mansoul. What sayest thou? Art thou guilty of this indictment or not?" Atheism: "Not guilty." Crier: "Call Mr. Know-All, Mr. Tell-True, and Mr. Hate-Lies into the court." So they were called, and they appeared. Then said the clerk, "You, the witnesses for the king, look upon the prisoner at the bar. Do you know him?" Then said Mr. Know-All, "Yes, my lord, we know him. His name is Atheism. He has been a very persistent fellow for many years in the miserable town of Mansoul. Clerk, you are sure you know him? No, know him. Yes, my lord. I have heretofore too often been in his company to be at this time ignorant of him. He is a Diabolonian, the son of a Diabolonian, and knew his grandfather and his father. Clerk, well said. He standeth here indicted by the name of atheism, etc., and is charged that he hath maintained and taught that there is no God, and so no heed need be taken to any religion. What say you, the king's witness, to this? Is he guilty or not? No. My lord, I and he were once in Villains Lane together, and he at that time did briskly talk of diverse opinions. And then and there I heard him say that for his part he did believe that there was no God. But, said he, I can profess one and be as religious too, if the company I am in and the circumstances of other things, said he, shall be put upon it. Clerk, you are sure you heard him say thus? No. Upon mine oath, I heard him say thus. Then said the clerk, Mr. Telltrue, what say you to the king's judges, touching the prisoner at the bar? Tell, my lord, I formerly was a great companion of his, for the which I now repent me, and I have often heard him say, and that with very great stomachfulness, that he believed there was neither God, angel, nor spirit. Clerk, where did you hear him say so? Tell, in Blackmouth Lane, and in Blasphemer's Row, and in many other places besides. Clerk, have you much knowledge of him? Tell, I know him to be a Diabolonian, the son of a Diabolonian, and a horrible man to deny a deity. His father's name was Never Be Good, and he had more children than this atheism. I have no more to say. Clerk, Mr. Haight lies. Look upon the prisoner at the bar. Do you know him? Haight, my lord, this atheism is one of the vilest wretches that ever I came near, nor had to do with in my life. I have heard him say that there is no God. I have heard him say that there is no world to come, no sin nor punishment hereafter. And moreover, I have heard him say that it was as good to go to a whorehouse as to go to hear a sermon. Clerk, where did you hear him say these things? Haight, in Drunkard's Row, just at Rascal Lane's End, at a house in which Mr. Impiety lived. Clerk, set him by, jailer, and set Mr. Lustings to the bar. Mr. Lustings, thou art here indicted by the name of Lustings, an intruder upon the town of Mansoul, for that thou hast devilishly and traitorously taught, by practice and filthy words, that it is lawful and profitable to man to give way to his carnal desires, and that thou for thy part hast not, nor never wilt, deny thyself of any sinful delight, as long as thy name is Lustings. How sayest thou? Art thou guilty of this indictment or not? Then said Mr. Lustings, my lord, I am a man of high birth and have been used to pleasures and pastimes of greatness. I have not been wont to be snubbed for my doings, but have been left to follow my will as if it were law. And it seems strange to me that I should this day be called into question for that. Not only that, I, but almost all men, do either secretly or openly countenance, love, and approve of. Clerk, sir, we concern not ourselves with your greatness, though the higher the better you should have been, but we are concerned that so are you now about an indictment preferred against you. How say you, are you guilty of it or not? Lust, not guilty. Clerk, crier, call upon the witnesses to stand forth and give their evidence. Crier, gentlemen, you, the witnesses for the king, come in and give your evidence for our lord the king against the prisoner at the bar. Clerk, come, Mr. Knowall, look upon the prisoner at the bar. Do you know him? No. Yes, my lord, I know him. Clerk, what is his name? No. His name is Lustings. He was the son of one beastly, and his mother bare him in Flesh Street. She was one evil's concupiscence daughter. I knew all the generation of them. Clerk, well said. You have heard his indictment. What say you to it? Is he guilty of the things charged against him or not? No. My lord, he has, as he hath said, been a great man indeed, and greater in wickedness than by pedigree more than 1,000-fold. Clerk, but what do you know of this particular action, and especially with reference to his indictment? No. I know him to be a swearer, a liar, a Sabbath breaker. I know him to be a fornicator and an unclean person. I know him to be guilty of abundance of evils. He has been, to my knowledge, a very filthy man. Clerk, but where did he use to commit his wickedness? In some private corners or more open and shamelessly? No. All the town over, my lord. Clerk, come, Mr. Cheltrue. What have you to say for our lord the king against the prisoner at the bar? Tell, my lord, all that the first witness has said I know to be true, and a great deal more besides. Clerk, Mr. Lustings, do you hear what these gentlemen say? Lust, I was ever of opinion that the happiest life that a man could live on earth was to keep himself back from nothing that he desired in the world. Nor have I been false at any time to this opinion of mine, but I have lived in the love of my notions all my days. Nor was I ever so churlish, having found such sweetness in them myself, as to keep the commendations of them from others. Then said the court, there hath proceeded enough from his own mouth to lay him open to condemnation. Wherefore, set him by, jailer, and set Mr. Incredulity to the bar. Incredulity set to the bar. Clerk, Mr. Incredulity, thou art here indicted by the name of Incredulity, an intruder upon the town of Mansoul, for that thou hast feloniously and wickedly, and that when thou wert an officer in the town of Mansoul, made head against the captains of the great King Shaddai when they came and demanded possession of Mansoul. Yea, thou didst bid defiance to the name, forces, and cause of the king, and didst also, as did Diabolus thy captain, stir up and encourage the town of Mansoul to make head against and resist the said force of the king. What sayest thou to this indictment? Art thou guilty of it or not? Then said Incredulity, I know not, Shaddai. I love my old prince. I thought it my duty to be true to my trust and to do what I could to possess the minds of the men of Mansoul, to do their utmost to resist strangers and foreigners, and with might to fight against them. Nor have I, nor shall I, change mine opinion for fear of trouble, though you at present are possessed of place and power. Then said the court, the man, as you see, is incorrigible. He is for maintaining his villainies by stoutness of words and his rebellion with impudent confidence. And therefore set him by, jailer, and set Mr. Forget Good to the bar. Forget Good set to the bar. Clerk, Mr. Forget Good, thou art here indicted by the name of Forget Good, an intruder upon the town of Mansoul. For that thou, when the whole affairs of the town of Mansoul were in thy hand, didst utterly forget to serve them in what was good, and didst fall in with the tyrant Diabolus against Shaddai the king, against his captains and all his host, to the dishonor of Shaddai, the breach of his law, and the endangering of the destruction of the famous town of Mansoul. What sayest thou to this indictment? Art thou guilty or not guilty? Then said Forget Good, gentlemen, and at this time my judges, as to the indictment,